Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Salvation for the dead. It's a major doctrine in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and today we're going to be looking at that subject as we were yesterday and the day before, because it is a chapter in a book that we've been going through called This Is My Doctrine, The Development of Mormon Theology, written by a Brigham Young University professor by the name of Charles R. Harrell. In chapter 16, he deals with this issue. So far, we have looked at 1 Peter 3:18 through 20. Today, we're going to look at 1 Peter 4:6, and the reason why we are going to Mr. Harrell and looking at his opinion, because as we've said before, we feel that Professor Harrell, even though he is not a general authority, so in the context of Mormonism, his words probably would not reign supreme over the teaching of a general authority, but at the same time, it seems odd to us that Professor Harrell, in many of the cases that we've been citing, tends to lean towards the evangelical understanding of these passages. And if he is correct, and if evangelicals are correct, Mormon leaders are wrong in how they have taken these passages and tried to make them look like they support LDS teachings when in fact they do not. In other words, what I think Mr. Harrell's doing, whether he meant to do this, is he's showing that the LDS leadership is certainly quite capable of giving their people an incorrect understanding of what the Bible says. And that's important. Now, as we mentioned yesterday, when we get into the subject of baptism for the dead and the three primary New Testament passages that Mormons cite as a proof text, there are different interpretations, different understandings that come forth from various Bible scholars. We admit this. I guess that's a little refreshing for me, Eric, in reading Harrell's book, is he seems to recognize that as well.
Yep.
And I think sometimes what really irritates me when I talk to Mormons is even though they don't know the history, they don't know the Greek language from which the New Testament came from, they're always very sure that their leaders are giving them the right interpretation,
right,
and that's the only interpretation you can take. And Harrell challenges that assumption.
The word that comes to mind is they cling to what their leaders say. They take their word for it. And as we've talked about many times, that's a dangerous thing, to put your eternal salvation into the hands of men who do not know what they're talking about, especially when it comes to interpreting Scripture.
Well, let's look at 1 Peter 4:6, another one of those vague passages, but this is what it says. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. What does Harrell say about that on page 351 of his book?
He writes, the assumption is that 1 Peter 4:6 ties back to 1 Peter 3:19. A footnote in the New American Bible acknowledges that the dead in 1 Peter 4:6 may be the sinners of the flood generation who are possibly referred to in 1 Peter 3:19, but notes that many scholars think that there is no connection between these two verses and that the dead here are Christians who have died since hearing the preaching of the gospel.
Now, he's noting that there is a difference of opinion here. Now, here's what I would take into consideration if I had a question about this. You take the interpretation that would probably yield the worst consequences, and you run with that one. To assume that you have a chance to be saved after this life, if that's not true, you're in trouble.
Right.
So we would obviously take the position that there is no salvation after this life and make sure that everything has been taken care of in our lives now.
In light of what other passages in the Bible talk about, for instance, Hebrews 9:27, which says that it's appointed for men once to die, and then comes the judgment. I mean, even the Book of Mormon in Alma chapter 34, that certainly seems to go against the idea that you could have any kind of salvation happening post-mortem.
Well, let's look at 1 Corinthians 15:29, because that's the one I have probably heard more than even 1 Peter 3:18 through 20 and 1 Peter 4:6. In fact, I can't even recall in all my years of witnessing to Mormons on the streets, I can't remember for the life of me any Mormon bringing up 1 Peter 4:6. Now, 1 Corinthians 15:29, I hear that one all the time. It says, "Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? If the dead rise not at all, why are they then baptized for the dead?" What does Harrell have to say about this?
On page 355, he writes, "Latter-day Saints find reassurance in the general scholarly consensus that this passage indeed has reference to baptisms performed during the New Testament times on behalf of the dead." He continues and says, "Paul is not endorsing the practice, though at least he does not see fit to condemn it as heretical."
And that's a good point, and I would even concede that point. You're right. Paul is not endorsing such a practice, clearly, from what we read in 1 Corinthians 15:29, and I would also concede he's not necessarily condemning it. But if you look at the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it's certainly not emphasizing this notion of baptism for the dead. It's emphasizing the idea of the resurrection.
So it would have made no sense for Paul to have said, "Oh, by the way, this baptism for the dead, I don't agree with it, or I agree with it." I mean, it would have been silly, because his whole point was to show that there was a resurrection of the body. That was the point in bringing up this argument in the first place.
On that same page, page 355, Harrell cites a very common evangelical argument regarding this passage, and I think it's a point that is often overlooked by far too many Latter-day Saints.
He writes, "It should be noted that the voice changes from we to they for this verse only. Else what shall they do? And why are they baptized for the dead? Then the shift is back to we. Why stand we in jeopardy? Could Paul be alluding to a practice that only they, not we, we're participating in?"
And that's a position that I personally have held for many, many years. I think it is rather odd, in light of the Mormon conclusion, that Paul would seem to separate himself from this doctrine that, according to the Doctrine and Covenants, is supposed to be the most glorious pertaining to the everlasting gospel, which is baptism for the dead. Does it make sense that if baptism for the dead is so important, the most glorious subject pertaining to the everlasting gospel, and as we mentioned yesterday, a doctrine that's so important that if you neglect it, as Joseph Smith said, you do so at the peril of your own salvation, why in this one verse that we have in the entire New Testament that mentions the phrase baptism for the dead, why does Paul leave himself out of it? Why does he switch to they and he doesn't include himself? That to me is very suspicious and tends to show me, at least, that Paul did not engage in such a practice. If Paul did not engage in such a practice, though he doesn't denounce it, it would tend to show me that it's questionable. At least questionable. Would you agree?
I agree. And credit goes to Harrell for making this point, because how many Latter-day Saints miss what he just said when they read this passage? Again, they go with their presuppositions, what they always have been taught that 1 Corinthians 15:29 is all about, and they are missing what is really being said.
A point that he brings out on page 366 is where he cites Bruce McConkie. And the reason why I think that's important is because many times Christians make the mistake of looking at baptism for the dead as a second chance doctrine. McConkie didn't look at it that way, and I think it's important to read what McConkie said in order to allow why he didn't think it was a second chance doctrine.
McConkie says, "There is no such thing as a second chance to gain salvation. By accepting the gospel in the spirit world after spurning, declining, or refusing to accept it in this life, it is true that there may be a second chance to hear and accept the gospel, but those who have thus procrastinated their acceptance of the saving truths will not gain salvation in the celestial kingdom of God. Thus, those who reject the gospel in mortality may have the gospel preached to them in the spirit world, but cannot be saved in the celestial kingdom, and therefore don't benefit from saving ordinances performed in their behalf.
And I think what's important in what McConkie says here is that if you were to accept the restored gospel in the spirit world, the best you could hope for would be the terrestrial kingdom. You would not go to the celestial kingdom if you heard about Mormonism during your mortality and rejected it. That's the point he's making. Joseph Smith did imply that if a person never heard about the gospel, that if they embrace it in the spirit world, they could go to the celestial kingdom. You see, that wouldn't be a second chance, though, because according to Smith, they never heard about it in the first place. So that's their first opportunity to hear it is in the spirit world. What McConkie's saying is you can't go to the celestial kingdom after you've already heard about it and you've rejected it in this lifetime. That's important to remember. But Harold says something on page 361 that I think we need to conclude this show with, because it goes back to what I said yesterday about why is this not mentioned in the Book of Mormon?
He writes, there is no indication in the Book of Mormon that Christ introduced the doctrine of salvation for the dead during his visit to the Nephites, even though, according to LDS doctrine, he had just visited the spirits in prison and opened the door for their salvation. On the contrary, the Book of Mormon people were taught not to worry about those who die without having heard the gospel in this life, since they are redeemed automatically through the atonement. The whole notion of vicarious works for the dead seemed incongruous with Book of Mormon theology.
And I think that is an excellent point, and it goes back to what I said yesterday. Here, as Harold brings out, according to Mormonism, Jesus supposedly just visited these spirits in prison before he goes over to the Western Hemisphere and appears to those people there. Yet there's no mention of this idea. The Nephites, if they really existed at all, have no clue whatsoever about baptism for the dead. Even though Joseph Smith says it's so important that if you neglect it, you do so at the peril of your own salvation. No mention whatsoever.
In a document that we put together on the radio notes that we're using, I actually included a section out of our book, Answering Mormons Questions, on 1 Corinthians 15:29, and includes several great citations, including one from D.A. Carson. If you'd like to get that PDF file, you can do so by going to our website, mrm.org, go to the right side, click donate, and in the note, just put radio notes. We will send you the PDF that has extra information for a gift of any size.
And we do appreciate your support of this radio ministry.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. All of us at Mormonism Research Ministry want to wish you and yours a joyous Christmas season as we remember the miraculous birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world to save his people from their sins. If Viewpoint on Mormonism has been a blessing to you, would you consider a generous year-end gift to help further the efforts of Mormonism Research Ministry? Please know that your tax-deductible gift to MRM is very much appreciated, and we humbly thank you for your kind support.